April 25, Special Town Board Meeting, Workshop, 6:30 p.m., Town Hall.
Hey, JP.
At least it's a good start.
Yeah, two years, I think I'm four, just barely.
I know, I'm gonna go to be at 6:30.
Hello?
Special meeting. Can I get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Noonan. Councilmember Killian.
Here.
Councilmember Stewart.
Here.
Councilmember Donahue.
Here.
Supervisor Fish.
Here. Can you stand for the pledge, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The reason for this workshop tonight is we are in the process of updating our comprehensive plan and our codes, and we are looking to reach out, as it stands right now anyways, to some individuals in the public to join us in this for their ideas. And with that, I'd like to ask Jim Martin to give us a... Jim Martin is our outgoing Zoning and Planning Board Administrator, and he'll give us a synopsis of what this is actually all about.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Supervisor. As you know, I'm Jim Martin, kind of outgoing zoning administrator, and Josh is here. He's started April 15th. It's been a very good and ongoing transition. We have a three-week period of overlap here between the two of us, and first of all, I want to thank the board for establishing that overlap. It's been, I think, very, very beneficial for Josh and for the board members. We both sat in at the planning board meeting earlier this month, and Josh attended the ZBA meeting last night by himself and handled that just fine. And so it's been a tremendous opportunity for an exchange of information, and that continues to be ongoing. There's a number of projects that are in review, as you all know, several PUDs that are somewhat complex. So we're having an opportunity to discuss all those, and I want to thank you for establishing that system and that approach. It's very well done, and it's, I think, producing great benefit, not just for the town government, but most importantly, the residents here in the community. So it's been really beneficial. Now on to the update of the zoning code. A lot of factors come into play with this, in my opinion. I'll give you some background as to how we got to where we are today. In 2015, the town retained the LA Group to update the town comprehensive plan and zoning law. And these are complex processes, and they each move in their own time frames. There's no set, you know, determinant of time, and you know, the past comp plan we did here in the town, it literally took 10 years. I'm not kidding you. 199, and it got adopted in 09. You know, and so we were hired in 2015, and the comp plan went through its update process, and it kind of got back shelved, but it was taken up again, and in 2015 it was adopted, or 2019, the update to the comp plan was done. And if any of you are aware of how state law works in terms of treating planning and zoning in New York State, it is strongly implied in the state law that comp plans precede zoning law updates, because the comp plan is supposed to be the baseline document, the basis for regulations and zoning to follow. And it makes sense, you know, during the planning process, we get input from the community, you know, needs in the community and so on and so forth, and they're recorded in the plan, and a lot of that implementation when it comes to comprehensive land use planning is in zoning, which regulates land use. So the comp plan was adopted in 2019, and we embarked on taking up the change to the zoning plan. And again, you know, things went, they moved ahead, got delayed, moved ahead, got delayed. But what really was the driving force behind driving home an updated draft of a zoning code was there was also a state grant awarded to the town through the Department of Ag and Markets because the town had done a farmland protection plan in that intervening time as well, and that's also in the planning department. Josh has got a copy. And in that farmland protection plan, it had specified, it did actually a zoning audit, they called it. And it was an audit of how the current zoning laws, to what extent they did a good job in regulating ag in the town, agricultural uses, and more importantly, advancing agricultural use and sustaining it and preserving it. So there was a zoning audit performed as a result of that, and it gave some really itemized guidance for improvements to the town zoning law. So Ag and Markets awarded the town a $15,000 grant to help subsidize the update to the zoning law. But they drew a completion date on that for the grant, or the grant would have expired by, I think it was April of last year. So I pressed ahead and did a complete update to the zoning law. Chapter 149 has been up. There is an update draft, and I want to emphasize it is a draft. There's been no official action taken on it whatsoever. It is a draft and an accompanying map that's updated. And that was submitted to the state, and the state advanced the grant fund. So we met that deadline. But my point in saying all this is there is a complete draft code available for review, and it's an excellent starting point for consideration of a new Chapter 149. And I think it's especially beneficial, having been zoning administrator here since 2016, that gave me a lot of good information and understanding as to where, at least from a technical perspective, where the shortcomings are in the zoning code and zoning map. And so I tried to address a lot of those in the draft that I produced. I've shown a copy to the supervisor. Josh has got a copy, and certainly if you're interested, I think it's timely now for the board to consider that. The reason why I say all this in this context is I'm well aware of the fact that the moratorium is in place. And at a bare minimum, to rectify what's identified as a need in that moratorium is there's three industrial zoning districts in the town right now, I think as you're aware, M1, M1A, and M2. And they're, as in many parts of the code, in drastic need of update. So at a bare minimum, to service the needs that are identified in the moratorium, I believe that those industrial districts are going to have to be reviewed and consideration given to changes to the use schedules and the dimensional standards, maybe even the size and breadth of those districts where they exist on the map could be reviewed. All that's got to be considered in consideration of the shortcomings that are identified in the moratorium. And at the same time, there's a lot of, like I said, it's a complex issue. There's a lot of structural inadequacies or shortcomings in the overall town code. For example, zoning exists as chapter 149 in the code and is a separate chapter as such. But also in the town code are fences in a separate chapter of the town code. Also in the town code are signs as a separate chapter in the town code. Also as a separate chapter in the town code is the keeping of chickens. These are all implications of land use that in most other communities you'll find in the state, they regulate all these types of land uses within their zoning code. They don't structurally make them separate chapters. And I would even say a danger, at least a shortcoming, if not a danger, in setting up that kind of structure. Because a zoning administrator technically has no jurisdiction in those chapters because there are other chapters of the code, not unless that jurisdiction is specifically assigned in those chapters, and it's not. And it's a highly inefficient way to regulate land uses. You run the risk of people thinking they need to look in the zoning code only, and if they're not aware that fences is another chapter, they think, well, I can just put a fence up because it's not in the zoning. Because that's where most people would expect to find it. So the draft that's been done corrects those things. The fence has been brought in, signage has been brought in, the keeping of chickens should be part of your ag use fundamentally, and it also allows it in residential districts. That should be brought in. And the other opportunity that exists here, it's not addressed yet in the draft, the solar should be brought in. I think some of the members who have been on the board dating back to the last term, there was a lot of good work done on a solar law here. If I could put it in a football vernacular, you got it to the 10-yard line and you stopped. Got most of the work done. It's there. Again, it's largely completed. That too should be folded into the zoning law. It's a matter of land use. And also the hazardous waste section, chapter 92, that's been recently referred to, that should be brought in as well. And that's not even been done yet in the draft. Because again, those are all things that are relating to the implications of land use. It should be in one location. Now, so the good news here is there is a draft, and I want to emphasize again, it's a draft. It is fully acknowledged to be one person's attempt at updating the zoning law, albeit with some knowledge of the current situation as zoning administrator for the last 7 years in the community. I think that's helpful, but each of you may read it and certainly are going to have questions, you're going to have observations to make, changes to make, edits, and that's all welcome and should be part of the process, but at least we're not starting with nothing, is my point. So there is a lot of information there. The other thing that the map does is the current zoning map, typical of zoning of that time, and this was done in 1989, they established arbitrary boundaries for zoning district boundaries. Like, for example, in many instances, you'll find on the map where the commercial zoning district is arbitrarily 300 feet back from the road or something like that. In other words, zoning district boundaries do not track with parcel boundaries. That sets up a lot of headaches from any point of view. From the point of view of the landowner, there's complexities that can come into play. It certainly sets up complexities for the administrator trying to administer a code like that. It's not taking advantage of the technology that has now long been available, and that is, you know, like electronically making zoning maps like it is now. It exists in electronic form, and we can track now with parcel boundaries very easily. Well, the zoning map that exists with the draft does that, and I think there were like 290 parcels that were impacted by split zoning in the community right now. It addresses all those and corrects for that. Again, it is a draft. It is one person's interpretation as to how that was remedied. All those parcels are recorded in a Excel spreadsheet by parcel tax map number and individual name and address. That was set up so if you wanted to, you could do a mailing to every parcel owner affected and explain to them how their parcel is proposed to be rezoned. In other words, get rid of the split. So that's been done on the map. Again, that needs to be reviewed and decisions made as to was the appropriate change made or should it go the other way? Because there was sometimes a parcel was very close, it was 50-50 split. You had to make a decision to go one way or the other. So that should be reviewed and a consensus reached on that. So I say all this, and I think that there's basically two options available to you now, given the presence of the moratorium and the time frame associated with it. Option one would be to simply go in and look at the industrial districts and correct for them, to correct the deficiencies identified in the moratorium and has been heard from the public. And correct the industrial zoning and be done with it in terms of its textual verbiage in the chapter and how it exists on the map. That could be one avenue that's a very short, defined undertaking. The second thing is to take advantage of this opportunity, which I think it is an opportunity, and look at the entire chapter and do the hard work, stop kicking the can down the road, and get a new zoning ordinance here established to serve the residents in this community. Because it's old, it's dated back to 1989, there's a lot of inadequacies in it, and you know these inadequacies can raise their heads sometimes, and I think that's what we've had happen here with some recent proposals before the town. So, I think the second choice is the best. It would take a lot of work to do it, but like I said, we're at a good starting point. There's a lot of good work and time and money invested in that effort, and it should be seized upon. And just as further background, there was under another consulting effort out of the last comp plan in 2009, when the comp plan was adopted then, complete zoning ordinance was drafted again in 2013, complete by another consulting firm, and it sat there. It exists as a draft, and it was never acted upon. And that was used actually as a resource document for some of the things I did in the draft that I produced, and I know it was looked at by previous administrations, I think during Gardner's last administration, they looked at that a little bit too as a potential starting point, because they had a roundtable meeting here in this room about zoning back in his first couple years of his last administration. So that was the impetus behind restarting it again. So that's where things stand. Those are the options as I see it that are available to you. One and two. One is short and succinct. The other's more involved, but I think there's some advantages you have that you could take, you know, advantage of having that draft code there as a starting point and use that as the impetus to to correct the whole thing. And then, even further to that, we were discussing this morning, I was on the phone, you know, with a new town attorney, very nice guy, by the way, great guy, he seems very knowledgeable, he seems he's going to do a great job. You know, there's a lot of things being done in zoning these days. In like the village of Saranac Lake, I did some work up there. They have what they call the Unified Development Code. And what that does is it takes all land use topics, subdivision, stormwater, zoning, signage, the whole thing, and it's in one development code. And so anybody who wants to come to the community and needs to understand what the regulations are for the community, they look in that one unified place. And more interestingly, what the community did is they dissolved their planning board, they dissolved their zoning board, and they made the Unified Development Board. Five people do both functions. Variances, subdivisions, site plan, special use permits, all of that. No two boards, one board, five people. So if you have a particular action that involves an area variance and site plan review, you could potentially get your actions filled in one night. And from a logistical point of view, doesn't require the appointment of 14 people to fill two boards, or 12 people like it does here to fill two boards. They fill their board with five people. It's a lot less stress, and because it's harder and harder these days to fill out these boards and get alternates that you should and all that. So that's just a consideration. There's some really interesting things being done out there. Whenever I look at something like this, I try to approach it from the standpoint is what is going to serve the needs of the community best, and how can that be efficiently, cost-effectively, and productively supplied to the community. So that's the vantage point that I try and keep that perspective as I go through this stuff. And I think that's a pretty neat system that was done. It's done now in several other places in the state. But I think it's a coming trend just from that logistical consideration of, you know, it's not easy sometimes. We've had vacancies on some of these boards for months while I've been here. So just food for thought. But I think at a minimum, that option two is the way to go. That's what I would support. I understand that there's other considerations that you may have, but as an advisory person to this board, that's what I would suggest.
What do you propose the timeline would be, not limit, but timeline would be on option two?
Well, I'm fully aware that you've got a 9-month limit on the moratorium. I've dealt with moratoriums from a bunch of different standpoints as a staff person, as a planning board member, and as many of you are aware, I've served on a town board in Queensbury and Glenville for three different terms. So I've been in your seats, I've enacted moratoriums myself, and I've also voted on resolutions extending moratoriums. So I'm not suggesting that's needed. I think you can do... It would be a very big challenge to do option two if you did not have a fully drafted zoning chapter and map available. I think it's doable in 9 months, given the presence of that draft code. As a practical matter, if you were to select option two, so to answer your question, I think it can be done in 9 months. If you were to take option two, what I would further suggest is the very first step in embarking on that, you take up the industrial district first. And you get that done, because that's what's most needed. So in the event that the rest of the code should lag, you can at least advance the zoning chapter, or I mean the zoning district portion of the chapter, and amend your current code and insert your new industrial district.
It doesn't have to be all done at once.
Doesn't have to be all done at once. You can take up that one section and just pass that, and that would address your moratorium concern. But I still think the entire code, with some aggressive scheduling and, you know, working at it, you could get the entire chapter, given the condition things are in that 9-month time frame. But in the event that didn't happen, at least you would always have the industrial district completed and ready to enact on it as a standalone if you needed to.
So that was one of my questions, was I do agree that it all needs to be revamped, and you have done a good chunk for us to move forward relatively quickly. Addressing option one first, being the actual moratorium, you'd be able to work through that. Could we lift the moratorium? And this is what I'm just confirming, as I think you said, we would be able to lift the moratorium. We would just have to insert that to our current code and then continue to revamp our code.
It's very, you just address that section and any related sections.
Okay.
It would be minor. It'd be predominantly just the use schedule that exists as an appendix at the rear of the chapter, where all the use schedules are for the individual districts. You'd look at that one table for the three districts. Quite frankly, I think the other thing I would envision is that there's no longer need for three districts, industrial districts. I think what's going to happen here is you're going to have one district. It may not even be an industrial, quotes, district per se. It may maybe take on some form of like a business park or a technology park, something like that. Based on what I recall from the input of the community during the comp plan, those are the directions that I think that taxable base, you know, that is associated with, you know, commercial use, I think that's where you're going to want to take that portion of the use segment in that direction, and not away from the heavy manufacturing and all the intensities and negatives that come with that intensity. That, because it's not popular.
So yeah. Is the technology park more of a blanket that would cover it instead of taking the M1, the M2, or whatever else it's going to be in?
Yeah, I think you just have, you might even establish all new nomenclature for the district. It might be a business and technology district or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen a few around.
But yes.
I'm curious to see why it's like that.
Yeah, well, the one great aspect of when you approach zoning revision is it's very easy now to do queries online for zoning information. And you can look at other business and technology districts and other like communities. And my point is, you don't have to remake the wheel. You know, you can get some templates from other communities and review them and find out what comes close. And maybe with some minor revision and tweaking, you can get it to be what you want it to be. You don't need to start with a pencil and a blank paper and try and figure this out. There's a lot of, that type of commercial district that you're looking for here that would, I think, be a good place to start. And you don't need to start from scratch. And my sense is it's going to want to be something that is more office-oriented and less process-oriented, like, you know, manufacturing processes and taking raw materials and shaping them into products. You're going to want to get away from that.
Sure. Josh, what's your input?
I agree with Jim. I was able to read the code, and I think that it kind of hits that need based on my review of the last comp plan. I think it's in a pretty good position. I understand that it's doesn't address the industrial part at this point, and I know that was kind of the intent Jim had to sort of look at that individually and have some more input, town input.
When I did this draft, I was well aware that the industrial district was going to require wider community input. And so I thought it would be inefficient and wasteful for me to take time on that until we had an opportunity when this draft was taken up, to do that in the context of a public review and public input. I think the very first place to start with this whole process is very early in the process. You've got to have a public meeting and just, you know, seek that input as to what those types of uses, what shape they should take in this community. What would they like to see? And then we can build the district uses around that. But that's the very first place to start. We just a general public meeting. We're taking up, quote unquote, industrial zoning here, per se. It may not even be that, you know, in its new version. You know, what do you want to see? Maybe the better way to cast it is, these areas of the town now that are currently under this industrial district zoning, what do you think are the appropriate uses in these areas?
Sure.
You just start at that baseline level and go from there. And you may see these contract in size. You know, they may want to have the districts just smaller and constrict the the business park footprint. Very well may be the case.
I just have a couple questions I've been writing down as we went, so some of them might backtrack, but...
No, fine.
First, as far as you said, I do agree that public input is the most important. We're representing the public as us five up here.
Start there.
What resources should we be jumping out in front of? Should we be... so that we're not ever waiting on something with 9 months... moratorium? Should we be ordering a traffic study? Should we be doing a population analysis report? Stuff that's going to be done outside your current office and Josh's current office as well. Things that the resources that our task force that we're considering and the public with their input might be considering. Anything that you would recommend that we should be taking action on as a board to have that information?
Well, what I would strongly encourage you to do, you as board members, if you have not done so, and I'm not casting any aspersion if you haven't, but you should read the comp plan. If you haven't, I recommend you read it, the 2019 comp plan, because a lot of what you're asking for is in there. There's implications on student enrollment. You can see where the trend is going with population in this community in general. You can see where the trend is going in terms of the economy, things like that. Those baselines right now. So I think there's sufficient information within the context of that comp plan as a baseline document for reference.
What about specifically traffic study?
Traffic studies. What I would suggest there, and you're going to be hearing from the planning board on this as a specific request, there was a traffic study done of the Route 9 corridor, I think in 2013-ish.
The roundabout, correct?
Yep. And the planning board is interested in having you appropriate funds to update that. And I think that would be an appropriate step to take to understand where traffic patterns are going, what the background growth rate is, what the anticipated growth rate can be in terms of known projects and the anticipated projects, and just get a handle on, you know, where the pressure points are, you know, the points of congestion, what might be the capital projects needed to provide relief and continue the traffic flow to an acceptable level. So the one traffic study I think that is warranted in light of their interests or in consideration of their interests and what they'd like to see, I think it's appropriate that be updated. And you can ask for that through the AGFTC, the Adirondack Glens Falls Transportation Council, funded that last study, and they could do so again. You just got to get on their radar screen.
And now, would you recommend, because I did hear you say the Route 9 corridor, and I do believe the 13 was for the roundabout consideration at Spire and Port Edward, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I do remember reviewing that. And then, would you recommend doing the traffic study all the way to the industrial park, as that is a major concern?
I would quite frankly reach out to the village and ask for it to be a bi-municipal effort from the bridge with Glens Falls, right on up through Main Street in the village, right on down Route 9 in the town, and as you suggest, right to the Wilton Town line.
Agreed.
That would be
all right. Because you got there's a lot of opportunity with some recent land purchases that have happened on the other side of the interchange. You know, there's some good quality local developers who have made a couple recent purchases there that are going to be coming forth with projects. One has already suggested a commercial subdivision, and he's halted at the idea of having to extend the sewer. So there's opportunities there, you know. And the other thing, that Monroe is in a wonderful, wonderful position. Geographically, this town is in a strategically valuable position to be in. The physical qualities of this community, with its, the soils here are excellent. You can dig in large, vast tracts of this community and not find a pebble. In my town, you go out my back door, I put a shovel in the ground, I go down 3 inches, I got shale. So, you know, so you're in a wonderful position, and you are experiencing growth. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox here a little bit. Communities are organic things. Communities need to grow. If they don't grow, they die. So never apologize or be saddened over growth. It should be managed. It should be regulated. It should be done in a spirit that is in lockstep with the needs of the community and the expressed desires of the residents. But growth is fundamental. If we don't grow, you're going to die. There's no sustaining. There's no preservation. All that's fine, but you need to grow. And I'm not going to be unapologetic.
And then I'll give up the floor, and anybody wants to. I have just two more questions. With this potential consideration of combining planning and zoning boards, would this be something that we would take up in this rewriting of the chapter, or is that just a separate suggestion?
Yeah, that's a separate suggestion. I don't want to get bogged down on that. I kind of toss that out there as a sweetener, or something that, you know, is maybe attractive and worth considering. I think it would be, it certainly could be done in a 9-month time frame. All this thing could be restructured and rebuilt in that fact. But, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I don't want to put things out in the community that cause angst and, yeah, you know, and division. You know, that's not my interest. I just say there's some really appealing things being done out there, some things worthy of consideration. And maybe that's something the community's not interested in, and that's fine. But I do think fundamentally you do need an updated zoning chapter for this community, and one that is up to speed with the desires of the residents, because the one right now is dangerously old.
That answers two of my questions. I have others, but please take the floor.
So generally, when we get into the scope of what's happening with our town, and Josh, maybe you can elaborate based on any grants, mm-hmm, you know, and population, you know, based in our town, how does that dictate, you know, what kind of grants that we could get with growth in our town? You know, and generally, once we have, you know, a plan, you know, how long does it usually take, you know, for these grants to come in, and if there's any at all?
Well, I think
generally
another huge advantage of Josh now is I was here 2 days a week on a contractual basis as a consulting service, really. Josh is now a full-time employee with great grantsmanship background, and the consolidated funding application process through New York State is there every year. You're on the threshold of the next round being announced in May. And the deadline is always for submission is always the last week in July. And there's a myriad of programs there that you should be involved in.
So Josh, what's your plan as far as, you know, when you hear these contractual, you know, bids or contract for the state that's allowing money to be given. Generally, what's the case, you know, as far as what do you do? You know, as far as receiving that money, do you put in a contract? Do you put an application in?
Yeah, we put an application in for whatever we're looking for. So, infrastructure,
recreation.
So that timeline, like Jim would say, would be due. It's always due the end of summer. The award is toward December. The contract usually goes out early the following year, and at that point, the municipality can begin work on that project and start receiving that funding. And you know, this project's in various stages, so you can go for engineering in the beginning, then go back to the state, look for the actual capital cost.
Sure.
So it sets you up for kind of a well-planned.
Yeah, I think it would be important, though, too, to, you know, get in the application.
Well, and I discussed this with Jesse and Josh. Yeah. There is a ready-made plan that would complement this effort that you have available to you for this funding round.
Sure.
The Hudson River Parks Trail System. Is Gina still here? Yeah. She was instrumental behind this when she was on the board. There's a highly detailed plan for passive recreation along the Hudson River right next to the industrial park on the two residual sites there where they placed the tailings out of the dredging of the Hudson River, and they encapsulate them there. There's two pasture areas there that are gorgeous. And there was a complete plan done for recreation being established down there, passive recreation, trail systems, things of that nature. Cost estimates done need to be updated because it's several years old, but that could be immediately filed in this upcoming CFA, you know, and that's 75% grant through that particular funding program with a 25% match that you already have in your town recreation fund that's a result of your subdivisions and housing developments.
We've also talked about the handicapped playground.
Yep.
At Rec Park, and we've talked about bringing a sewer line across 87 to hook up so that anybody on the other side of the Northway can. There's a couple developments over there that are kind of left hanging in the loop right now. If we could get a grant to bring that sewer line across 87, it would be a huge.
And that would complement your brand new zoning treatment for that area of the town, because that's one of the currently industrial areas there, the old sand pit in that area around it, or the current sand pit in the area around it.
Now, would you say, in your experience, we have the state park there, thousands of people that come in, would that be something that we could get the state to come on board, and instead of having dumping stations next to our Moreau Lake and all the campers that are in there dumping, and the actual tent campers, would that be something that we could go after them for assistance to hook up sewer to the park there as well, which would bring us across the
outside? That would be a great argument in support of that, that funding.
It'd allow you to drive there and dump for anywhere.
And I know of two development scenarios that, by the virtue of two relatively new landowners on that side of the Northway, you know, they're coming. The one's already been divulged, and if we could overcome, you know, the sewer issue, as Jesse suggests, that would be further tax base and further growth in an appropriate area of the town for it.
We'll come to talk to you about that another time. So to this, if nobody has any further questions, that I would just like some clarification on the task force that you're recommending. I did read your email that you sent to somebody that was forwarded to me.
Yeah, I sent it to Kyle. Had some questions.
Maybe Kyle, I told him I'd say that on record. I spoke with him earlier. He did have a passing of a close family member, and he is not able to be here. He did send his apologies. It was no disrespect to anybody.
Please let him know if he has any further questions for me. I'd be happy to address them.
Well, I'll definitely let him know. Could you just...
The thought process behind the task force is... I think it's very important in efforts like this, whether it be option one or two, that it be done in constant close consultation with residents of the community. And it's impossible to do that you know, with every resident of the community, obviously. These are all going to be public meetings and all that, but one of the next best things then to do is get a representative, I call it task force, advisory committee, whatever you want to call it. It'd be an officially appointed committee by this board, so the public meeting laws would then apply, and certainly we want these to be public. But to have that committee be made up and structured to represent a cross-section of the community as best we can, from varying backgrounds in the community, whether it be ag, commercial, industrial, developer-minded, resident-minded, you know, whatever, you know, just get that cross-section of the community that exists out there right now as best we can within a manageably sized board. And in my experience, you know, I've seen where these things open up and they make them 25, 35 people, and it just becomes unwieldy and unmanageable. And over the course of time, the attendance always drops off. So in my experience, the optimal size is 7-9 people, and I think 9 would be appropriate here. And you do make it an odd number in the event that you do need to put things to a vote. Some things may come up. And try and get that cross-section representation, you know, across that those nine members, and have it be representative of the residents, you know, in that input. And again, certainly one of the early things I would suggest that task force or advisory committee, whatever you want to call it, they should have that public meeting just looking for input. No preconceived notion. You know, how do you see what is right now industrially zoned property in the community, how do you see that in the future? And see what kind of feedback you get. And then have that committee work with, you know, Josh and build that district accordingly.
Now, with that, since it's appointed, you said to operate by, you know, open minutes law, appointing people to that, doesn't that limit it just to the town and rural residents then? Because it's an appointment by a town board for a town seat.
Yeah, and I think it as it is a town of Moreau, you know, zoning law that's affecting the residents of the town, I think it should be comprised of residents from that township, that community, specifically in our purpose. Now, that said, if that body wants to access other resources or other sources of information, by all means. And maybe even if they seek out, like you suggest, maybe a traffic study or a study of a particular topic, they can reach out to the town board and get the appropriation to do that. And I think you'd be supportive of that. So the makeup should be limited to the residents, but if they want to seek, you know, other input that can be beneficial to them as they see fit, then by all means, they should seek that out.
Mark, were you thinking about wanting to bring other people in?
I was just reaching out to the task force. I know there's been a lot of good thought out process to it. I had a good conversation with Supervisor Secretary today, Liz, and I just want to make sure that we're focusing everything and getting right out ahead of it the right way, I guess.
Sure.
I knew because the task force is one thing, and then an appointed committee is a different thing, like you said, because now they're actually following open meeting.
I'm sorry. And when I say task force and appointed committee,
yeah,
that's an interchangeable term for me.
Okay.
It was always meant to be a town board appointed body, whether you call it task force, advisory committee, or steering committee, whatever it is. If it's appointed by you, it is subject to the open meetings law, and it should be appointed by you. And if it is with an official mandate, then that has to be. And it should seek to be publicly accessed, not try and conceal it. It should actively seek public participation.
And now when that board's all said and done with the 7 to 10 community members, they report back their final draft to these 5 seats. Is that
yes.
The way?
And the other thing I suggested, so there is interaction between this board and that committee board, or, you know, force, whatever you want to call it, there should be at least a liaison or two from this board that attends those meetings to get, you know, regular updates back to the full board here as to what's going on, you know, what's the current thing being worked on, what's the status, how's things progressing. So there should be two town board members, kind of like ex officio, to that committee, so you can sit in. And obviously, you could come to any meeting, but there's a direct link on a constant, ongoing basis and informational exchange between this board and the task force.
And then we would be able, as this board, to go through our liaisons to make, because having those two board members in this meeting obviously makes it so that the rest of the board's not able to partake right. as a resident of the town, but we'd be able to provide any recommendations during the process through this board back to our liaison.
Yeah, through your liaison, or, you know, you're certainly a resident of the community, you're qualified to go to the meeting and...
Yeah, you can't partake, though, if there's two board members out there, right?
Well, I'd ask your attorney about that. It depends on the manner in which you're coming to this meeting. But my point is that I was envisioning a way that there could be constant communication back and forth between the two boards, because the last thing you want is something to be dumped upon this board that you never saw coming. This is completely outside of what you were thinking was going to be the case or something like that. And now we got confusion. There should be a constant informational exchange, so there's an awareness by the members of this board what progress is being made, how is it being done, what's coming up, when can we expect the finished product, you know, where are they at in the time frame, all that kind of thing.
Understood.
So the committee or whatever, made up of residents and stuff, they would basically be taking ideas and stuff in the community and processing it and presenting it to the board, then the board would take up their recommendations, whatever, and we make a decision which way, but exactly what direction we're going to go in and what we're going to see the final.
Right. And nobody among the task force members or nobody on this board is the zoning expert or the expert on it. And that's where, you know, Josh is going to come in, where he can take those ideas, shape it into a, you know, a district text and use table. He can work on the mapping, and you can take that new district, whatever it wants to be, and shape it into that structure for the committee first to review, get their blessing on, and then ultimately it gets presented to you in a draft form, and then you're going to go through your typical local law adoption process. It's going to be subject to a public hearing, it's going to be subject to seeker, and then you're going to take up the final decision as to whether you enact it. Because it's ultimately a piece of legislation.
So what this task force actually decides doesn't necessarily have to be approved by the board.
No.
It'll be a joint back and forth.
That's absolutely correct.
Yep, we want to get.
And it very well may, once you get a draft district back, or if you select option two with an entire code, it will very likely get here and be subject to further change. You guys are going to have opportunity to comment on it, revise it, and get it out to public input as well. And I would suggest, having done this in the past many times, rather than just go directly to the formal public hearing, prior to that, you as a board, no matter what you do, option one or two, you'd simply have a public informational meeting to present the draft law, the draft change. Here's what our task force has come up with. Here's what we have as a board of review. We think this looks to be pretty good in final shape. We'd like your input on it before we get into that formal hearing. So there's, again, a public opportunity to comment and revise before you get into that formal process of adoption. The more public interaction here, the absolute better it's going to be.
Now, would you say, if it came all down to it, is this something that obviously this board would have the authority and reason to take the final law? Is this something you've ever seen go to a special election, or if it just happens to fall at the right time and it's part of an election, or the people make the ultimate decision on this law?
I would reserve that answer to your
I apologize for putting on the spot.
I don't want to provide an answer that misleads you. I don't know if something like that you could put to a referendum or not. But I could understand the basis behind your question. I just don't feel qualified to answer it. So I'd put that to your turn.
Thank you. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I understand where you're coming from on that one and the reason behind the question. But I just want to be perfectly, you know, honest and transparent here. I have no agenda in any of this. You know, I just my input into the draft that hopefully you see at some point of that zoning code was based out of the comprehensive plan and then also my observations in administering this code for the last, you know, 7 years and what could be done to make it better. Do I have the answer to every, you know, question or problem? No. Or if I did provide the answer, is it the correct one? I hope it is, but I stand here with no guarantees. So you may have a completely different view of certain aspects of it, and that's fine. That's what your role is as a board member, and I support that. But what you see is done from the interest of just simply trying to make the code better to serve the needs of this community. And I thought the task force was my idea. Mm-hmm. And that sprang from having done this many, many times in the past with comp plan formulation and adoption and zoning law formulation and adoption as the best way to proceed, best being defined at what is the method that plugs the community into the process as much as you can. So the formulation of the district is overseen by just residents of the community from that cross-section of the community, and as many public meetings they can have, public outreach sessions they can have, public input they can get, the better. So that was the impetus behind suggesting the task force, rather than you as a town board, with all the regular business you have that I'm well aware of, on an ongoing basis, try and struggle at the same time to undertake a zoning change. You can delegate this to a community committee, community-based committee, have regular contact with it, but you can also, you know, undertake the functions you have to take on an ongoing basis, you know, throughout the year.
Does anybody in the crowd have any questions for Jim or Josh? Liz?
Words aren't interchangeable. You said that the task force, yes, it's subject to public meetings law because it would be a body appointed by the town board.
Correct.
You said residents. Well, some people own property in the town but don't physically live in the town. Can you explain?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be residents. The town board, in my understanding, can establish the parameters for appointment to that body. If it is a property owner and not a resident per se, that if that's what the town board wants to open it up like that, they could.
Okay. I think what Mark was asking, I just wanted to make sure.
And that was a good point.
That clarification.
There is a distinction between the town resident and somebody who owns property in the town but may reside somewhere else.
And I know there's, and obviously we work with our attorneys, as you said, you spoke with them, they seem to be very knowledgeable on this. I did know that appointing somebody changes it a little bit differently than just we have this task force, we're opening it up to the community, right? Because that's different than us appointing somebody to. I feel that, and then again, we can just get clarification.
No, I think it would be, it would give the body, whatever it is, task force, committee, whatever, a lot more credibility and standing if it is a town board appointed body.
Understood.
And you could open it up to be landowners and not necessarily residents. I could understand because they have skin in the game, so to speak.
Landowners and taxpayers.
Yeah, right.
Taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesse, I've got a couple of questions if I can. I'm a little concerned with the timeline that's been expressed, and these are really for Jim. Jim, you put together a draft, and I want to be sure I understand how much of the current town code
there's a draft to replace. You mentioned the zoning code. You said fencing. Is that incorporated in your draft?
Yes. Yeah, so
signage is incorporated in your draft.
Yes. So in to answer that interim question, if that revision were adopted as it stands today, the sign chapter would be eliminated, the fence chapter would be eliminated in favor of now those regulations exist within the zoning chapter.
Okay, so the only thing that is not, there is no draft for it, is the industrial.
Yeah, I did not touch the industrial district.
I guess I was under the misinterpretation that that you or somebody was working on the industrial part of the code. So that hasn't been touched yet.
Well, and my reasoning behind that is I perceived it to be, and this is my own individual perception, I perceived it to be such an area of controversy and interest in the part of the public, given current, you know, circumstances and recent events, it was best to take that and have that be something for full public discussion and input.
Okay, so there's a lot that has to be done. A task force has to be put together. There has to be public hearings on either the whole code or the industrial section
right.
of the code. And we're talking about 9 months, but we don't have 9 months because we're at, eight and a half now because a couple of weeks have already passed. And the clock is ticking, and there has to be a sense of urgency about all of this. And I think beyond simply amending the industrial code, trying to get anything else done in the next 9 months is going to be a real strain on everybody because of the cross-communication that has to take place, because of the work that has to be done, we're bringing people together that have not been involved in this process, at least at the town level. So I'm not optimistic that you could redo the entire code in 9 months. I just think that's a bridge too far. I would focus on the industrial code, I would get that done, and then as a second phase, if you want to get after the rest of the code, I think that's fine. But the clock is ticking, and I really think there has to be a sense of urgency about focusing on the industrial code first, getting that done, and then moving on to whatever is next in line.
I think that's a very reasonable position to take. I can see, you know, the rationale behind that feeling, and that very well may be the case. And again, this could be structured in such a manner that the mandate given to the body is that do the industrial first, get that done, get us a draft back. Let's go through that consideration first, and then part two to follow would be the rest of the code as you know, as the next thing in line. But get the industrial back here to the town board for that revision to the current code.
I think however we do it, it needs to be completed this time so that it's the whole plan is updated, the comprehensive plan is done, the codes are done, and it's completely finished. Like you stated earlier, if we do the industrial and manufacturing area first, then there's an opportunity that we could open that back up to anything, and we could lift that moratorium.
Right, and then you can take the momentum that you've gained, and have the committee go back to work on the rest of the code.
Yeah,
and just make sure you do make a commitment to get it done.
Code to get this done. This time.
Yep.
That
yep.
way,
I think that would be responsive to that. Because I can see your point. That very well may be the case. That it's just that in and of itself. Getting the organizational structure set, you know, get the meetings going, get the public input, and get to work on that industrial section alone, you know, could take up a significant amount of time.
Gina?
If I just add to Tom's concern, it's a very complicated process that you're undertaking, obviously, and you're contemplating various meetings, setting up a new board, Josh, your new guy, hopefully you'll be right in there facilitating all this. But I think what's going to be key to the success of having a very decent project schedule that outlines very clearly who's doing what when, what kind of meeting, when is the public hearing part, when is the report part, and making sure that from start to finish, you get all these steps in to complete.
Gantt chart.
Yeah, a Gantt chart. some kind.
Well, what very well could be done is a schedule, a preliminary schedule could be established right from the get-go, starting from the ninth month and counting back. You know, what thresholds and milestones have to be met when to meet that deadline, and have that as a handout at the very initial meeting of the body when it's appointed, and say, here's what we got to do, folks, and this is the schedule we have to keep. So you meet the time frame.
Yeah.
I just have a comment. Excuse me. I like your idea a lot about a task force. I had 12 years on the town board. We had committees, we had task force, we had board members that were liaison, and that was something I often wanted to be chosen for. We have a lot of insight. There's a lot to be gained. I think of the farmland committee, I think plan was the last one I was involved in. You really gain confidence in your community by sitting in on those meetings. But that was a phenomenal process. You got to learn what the people in the community thought. You had the ability to go back to the board. And the one thing I think that, if anything, you would want to emphasize when they are starting is they are advisors, that their decision comes from the board. So we might come to you with an idea, or you're not we, the committee, might come to you with an idea, and the board may go, how are we going to discuss this? And they talk about it before, maybe with the committee representatives or the committee themselves. But the board, I always thought, the buck stops here. I sit here, and in 10 years, nobody's going to look over and say, this committee member caused this to happen. They're going to say, this didn't work out, and you voted on it. So I always felt comfortable with that. But I think that needs to be established, that we want we're going to use your opinions for ideas. But I found they were very, very useful, and it served a great purpose. Thank you for bringing that up, too.
The other thing I just thought of too, you could build into that schedule, if you could build in interim reports be made to the town board as the status and process right in that schedule. So, you know, whether it be monthly, bi-monthly, whatever you desire, you could get a brief report written to this board as to what the progress is and what the status of the drafting is. So you understand, and if there's a cause for concern or a red flag comes up somewhere, you can attend a meeting and say, you know, I have a concern over this, or what's happening with this and why. You can just keep track of it that way as well, so you get regular reports.
Even though there's only two members of the board here at a time, I think every board member needs to be aware of what's going on and right up to date, so that if there's any issues, it can be...
That's why that reporting method could give you some regular updates, you know, as to what the status is.
Now, should we be looking to set, you said that initial public hearing, May is not a favorable time frame month for us because our first meeting isn't until the absolute maximum day of May 14th. Is that something that, as we are having a special town board meeting, we should be looking? Would your recommendation to set something prior to that for this public to then really get this task force running?
I wouldn't have that initial meeting until you had your task force set, so they would have the benefit of making sure they're in attendance. So my suggestion would be to get the task force appointed, and one of the early requests is that they have that public informational meeting as soon as possible in that schedule that, you know, you're going to work out for them. And you're right, it's just happenstance how this happened, but typically when I did these schedules for comp plan development or zoning law development, you kind of avoid the summer months because people don't want to come into a town hall in the middle of a beautiful summer night and talk about zoning or planning. But you got the time frame you got, so it looks like that is going to happen here. You're going to have a early summer, you know, public meeting. Because once school lets out, people get on their schedules and they don't settle down again until Labor Day, you know. But it is what it is. You got to work through your schedule in light of your 9-month limitation. But that said, then, you know, in that scheduling, what I would suggest is that shortly after Labor Day, you have a reason to have another public meeting again. Just if it's a, you know, a public informational update. You know, when people's schedules settle back down, the kids are back in school, you just plan one in right there, because, you know, if it has been a you know, summer period and your attendance has been light, you know, maybe you want to consider, we just have a public meeting shortly after, in mid-September anyhow, for the purposes of update and get people reinvigorated again if you need it.
I just want to throw it out there that you can extend the moratorium. Obviously, it's something you want to talk to your town attorney about.
She was advising that there's always the option of extending the moratorium.
Yeah.
If
you're worried about the, you know, the 9 months or the 8.5 months, that it's always an option.
Yeah, I, having dealt with many moratoriums in the past, both as staff and town board member, it's almost ministerial, that first extension. It's when you get beyond if you get to a second or a third, it starts to get a little more dicey as to the justification for the extension. But usually the first extension is pretty ministerial, if you need it.
But the zoning code in its entirety. If drafts could be submitted to members of the zoning board and planning board at this point for review, I'm sure it's many pages, and I think they would have some helpful insight that might progress.
And I agree with that, but one little fine point I would put to that, I mentioned this to Jesse when we were talking about this informally or a couple days ago. I suggest that you provide the entire code, but if you do get to the point of the entire code, dice up the focus into 15 pages or 20 pages at a time, and so you kind of frame it in a little bit, and then you're not all over the place. You know, you can give out the entire code, but then once you go through the review, structure that so it's in segments that are manageable, and you can work through and don't go on to the next segment until you've addressed all the comments and concerns in the prior segment. So that's just structurally works out better.
If necessary, correct me if I'm wrong, but if necessary, if we start with the industrial park and we can get that finished, even if the moratorium runs out and we have everything in place so that that can be lifted, we can still finish any other part of that comprehensive plan that we have to finish. I mean, it's not like we have to stop at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now the implications are that, you know, when you do the zoning district, it is naturally going to spill over into other sections of the chapter. There certainly are going to be definitions that come into play. They're going to have to be revised in the definition section of the chapter. And there may be other things in terms of site plan review standards, things like that. So there may be fragmented areas in the other parts of the chapter that get affected by that, but you can do it as one standalone.
Anybody else? No, no, good. JD,
good.
And I just want to point out, this is an ongoing process, so questions are going to come up throughout the whole thing. So at any time, I'm sure, you know, Josh is open to, I'm open to while I'm here. If you guys have any questions at any point during this process, just don't hesitate to contact us, because, you know, we'll address your questions. You know, this is not a one-shot deal here tonight. It's an ongoing, it's a very organic process. So questions arise and we'll address them.
Well, I want to thank you for everything tonight. I appreciate that. I'm sure the board and everybody else does too. Is there anything else we need to talk about here? Good.
I just want to say thank you to Jim as a whole for the last year's dedication of the town.
Yes,
so I know you're on your way out. Congratulations on everything. I've been in your office as a resident and spoke with you as a town board, and thank you. Your knowledge has really helped this town through the years. So
it's been a pleasure, and I've had contact with a lot of nice people in this community, and it's been very gratifying.
We thank you.
Thank you also, Jim. I don't think I've ever had any questions about zoning or anything else. you were able to walk them through it. I appreciate that. It's a bump of balance for sure. Thank you.
That's been a pleasure.
With that, take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any adjourn?
Oh, all right.
No.